Welcome to the Dungeon Plunger Podcast. My name is Jason Weeb, and this is the show in which I, a real-life janitor and dungeon master, teaches you how to plunge in and run a better Dungeons & Dragons game. Without further ado, let's plunge into this week's episode. Call-a-palooza, part deux. Hit it! Welcome, Dungeon Plunger Union members, to another episode of the Dungeon Plunger Podcast. Super happy to be here today. Feels like it's been a while. What have I been up to? Well, it's been a busy time in the dungeon, and I've been hard at work doing interviews. As of this recording, I have 4 interviews done so far, ready to be edited, and another interview on the way. I've been working really hard doing these interviews. I'm very curious about your thoughts on them, so please send in your feedback and let me know what you think and how I might be able to improve them. In a lot of ways, I know it's a big divergence from how the show has initially started and sort of portrayed itself, and so I definitely want to keep doing these kinds of episodes. But at the same time, I feel like it's really hard to come up with topics that I feel have significance to you as listeners and that would actually be useful for you to be actionable and used at the game table. And I don't want to be just talking for talking's sake. I mean, I love talking. I do enjoy hearing my own voice, which, you know, that's not great, I suppose. But, you know, I've really, really been enjoying doing the interviews. So, and that's sort of, you know, where I had envisioned this kind of podcast or what I would like to be doing as far as podcasting goes. I feel like it's a little more entertaining to hear somebody else talk instead of just my voice droning on. I have been blessed with many, many calls. So many, in fact, that I decided that I needed to do a Call-a-palooza episode. So I'm going to take all these calls, try to clear out my Mimic mailbox and get it fresh for a whole boatload of new calls and letters, hopefully. I really, really enjoy hearing from you guys and gals and whoever else you might be. Please, please continue to send in your calls, send in your thoughts, and, you know, let's keep that dialogue happening, all right? I don't want to waste too much more time, so let's dive into these calls and see what's inside the Mimic mailbox.
Hey there, Weeb. It's Jay from Roleplay Rescue, and I'm really glad that you published a retraction on your accusation that people who listen to your podcast in the car are boring. Because I was on the edge of actually stopping listening because I wouldn't want to be boring. Anyway, that's great. Second thing, if you want to do some third edition or 3.5 edition Dungeons and Dragons, yeah, I'm up for that. Especially if I could play. I think I'd really enjoy you playing in a game. Haven't done that in a long time. I guess I would ask, could you stick to the core rule books? But other than that, I would be very, very down to do that stuff. And I just wanted to say that I've been sort of enjoying the episodes. I'm halfway through the latest episode. There's so many call-ins. The episodes are so long. I noticed that 2/3 of an episode or longer are call-ins. So I guess I'm just adding to that problem for you. But I'm glad that you're getting so many calls, so much support and everything else. It's really, really positive to hear. So I'm just glad for you, man. Not in the slightest bit jealous. There was something else I was going to call about, but I can't remember what it was. So I will leave it there. Hope you're well. Game on.
Thank you so much for calling in, Che. I'm so glad that you're listening and enjoying the show. And that's right. All of y'all who listening in your car, you're not boring. Dude, I would love to run a third edition game for you. My only issue is I need to find the time. But you know what? For you, dude, I definitely could find the time. And I'm pretty sure I could recruit a bunch of other players who would want to get down and get dirty in the third edition D&D dungeons. Yeah, man, that sounds like a great idea. You know what? Having too many call-ins is a great problem to have. And I'm super happy to have it. And, you know, just know that people out there are listening to what I have to say and enjoying it. And the fact that people calling in to me says that they're really engaged in the show and enjoying it. And that is like the best kind of feedback that I could get, that, you know, you take your time and energy to make that call. So I really appreciate it. And Che called in a couple more times, so let's hear what he has to say next.
Hey, Jason, it's Che calling from Roleplay Rescue. I just want to thank you so much for the interview with Matt Finch, which was awesome, but awesome for some really interesting reasons for me. The first thing is I really appreciated the thing he emphasized right at the end of the interview, which is about the idea of like knowing your guys at the table and making sure that you, essentially what he implied at least was like you adapt the way in which you're running the game, your methodology and your play to meet, you know, the needs of those guys and the interests of those guys at the table, which was like cool. And I, you know, it made me laugh in the middle somewhere where he expressed such surprise at hearing somebody who's engaged by essentially submission engagement, you know, the desire just to have a bit of a laugh. Yeah, I'm happy to win everything. I'm not bothered about challenge. But, you know, it's cool. The big thing, though, was realizing why I'm not a member of the OSR, really, why I don't feel like I've fitted in for a very long while there. And it's really to do with his assertion that evoking character, what I would regard as playing in character as character, is essentially an optional add-on. Now, what does it really gain you, Matt asks, you know? Not really very much. And I just absolutely disagree with that. I think that I would, to say it's the whole point is too strong, but to say it's a big part of why I play, it's the fantasy, the expression, oh my goodness, the need to and a want to be that character. That's why I play role-playing games. But thanks. Loved it.
That interview to me felt so cathartic. It really, to me, answered a lot of those burning questions that I had about old school role playing and kind of answered a lot of contradictory messages that get put out there about, you know, this is what the OSR is. This is what old school role playing is. And if you're not doing it like this, then you're doing it wrong. So really to have him say at the end that, you know, you need to identify your table and their needs, to me, I felt was a refreshing viewpoint, first of all. And like you, though, I was shocked about his revelation about gamers not wanting to have that easy, just hang out and chill type of game. Yeah, so that was also shocking to me. And I did feel a little more comfortable in the sense that, like, hey, maybe this style of play isn't exactly meant for me, and kind of felt like, hey, you know, maybe I can move on to other games and not feel like I'm necessarily a failure at running OSR games. Feel like those are some really great points, and I'm glad that the interview resonated with you, because I know this is something that, you know, you and I have talked about personally off mic. We got one more call from Che, so let's hear that one. Here we go.
Hey Weeb, it's Che. I just wanted to say thanks for your most recent episode in which you were shaming those of us who like tuna sandwiches at work. He's at it again, look. okay. I just wanted to actually say thanks for the suggestion. I don't know that I would phrase it the same way, but the idea that, you know, you've got to do and run the games and play the games actually that you are interested in and excited about, and which kind of, for me, it's like what makes your fingers tingle kind of stuff. You know, there's stuff that excites you. I spent far too, I'm going to say this for anybody who's relatively new to the hobby, I suppose, but I spent far too many years trying to please other people, trying to do what I thought other people wanted, with really very little evidence, because I'm socially anxious. I was just making those assumptions. And actually, recently, as I've really started to sort of drill in on what it is I enjoy, which, by the way, takes some time, I've come to realize that actually there's very few games that I really enjoy. And I don't just mean rule systems. I mean, like the game, the whole picture, you know, that combination of rules and world and characters and your method and everything else. So, yeah, go figure it out. But once you start to realize what you enjoy, I would suggest, like, redouble down on it. And please don't let anyone persuade you. I actually kind of getting to the point where I maybe not take part in games I wouldn't enjoy, you know. Anyway, just a thought. Game on, brother.
I really feel like I defended the tuna sandwich lovers of the world. Everybody should eat the tuna sandwiches. And it doesn't go just for the tuna sandwiches. Eat whatever you want. Do whatever you want. That was the point. The point was, do you, man. I also really like what you said there. Do what makes your fingers tingle. Man, I don't know if that's a British thing, but you guys got like the best lines. So I really, that made me chuckle to hear that. First of all, you give some really good advice. I really like the advice that you're giving, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. And that last point that you make about, you know, not wanting to play in a game that you don't necessarily enjoy, I think is a very valid one. And I would almost think that, you know, on some level you're joining the game because presumably because you want to support your friends. But if you're not going to enjoy it, then it's kind of like maybe you're bringing it down for everybody else. And so not being there might actually be the better choice. But it's tough, right? Because, you know, inherently, I think we all want to do the nice thing and be nice and get along to get along. I just wanted to say thank you so much for your calls, Che. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. And I always feel like when you call in, it's because I've really said something that you feel that you need to respond to. I hope you continue to call in, and game on, my brother. Next up, we have the Mystery Lady.
Hello, Jason. This is Mystery Lady, I guess. I had phoned you first or second podcast. You've been saying a lot that you want people to call you and leave feedback. So this is me calling you, leaving feedback. I'm not a gamer. I don't role play. I don't play Magic. I don't do any of that. But I still listen to your podcast. And I'd love to say that I love how you're inclusive. You make it entertaining for everybody, even if they're not a gamer. I really enjoy listening to your story time. So keep up the good work, and maybe I'll call in again. Bye.
Thank you so much for your call. That is Mystery Lady, but some of you already may know that's my wife, Marnie Robertson. She is super supportive and puts up with all of my nerd stuff and listens to me talk about my nerd stuff. And she's really, really good at being like, oh yeah, wow, that's so cool. And I know she doesn't understand any of it, but she's always got my back and she's been super supportive of this podcast. And I just really, really appreciate her support and the love that goes into this from her. Thank you very much, Marnie. And I'll see you when I get home.
Hey, Jason. This is Anthony calling in from the Casting Shadows podcast and the Runeslinger YouTube channel and all that jazz with elevated elbows. And I'm making my way through your episodes. So I wanted to leave a message to say thanks for the kind words when I've made an appearance or my videos and whatnot have made an appearance in your recommendations list. I really appreciate it. And you had some questions about masks of Nyarlathotep or Nyarlathotep or however people want to pronounce it, which is part of the fun. Questions like, why would anybody run it more than once? Which I can certainly understand. But in my case, I've run it more than once because I've never actually finished it. I've started it, as I described in my video, from different directions and in many different ways, but I've never had a group get all the way through it. Every once in a while, I get the urge to see if this group this time might be the one to get all the way through it without bowing to the ways of play provided in the 7th edition, which make that something which is slightly more likely to occur than in the old ways. But anyway, that answers that question. Your second question was about how we got introduced to Lovecraft and Call of Cthulhu, and this was two separate things for me. As a young kid in elementary school, one of the places that I lived was a very small town on the east coast of Canada, which didn't have even a library, and I was a very voracious reader. But it did have what was called a bookmobile, which is a converted school bus, you know, full of books and shelves and things. And in the back corner behind the driver, or on the driver's side, there was a horror section. So there I discovered things like The Three Investigators and the works of H.P. Lovecraft. I didn't like most of the Lovecraft tales I read as a little kid, but later in university, I found the 4th edition of Call of Cthulhu in my very first local game store. And everything clicked together. I was now kind of the right age to read Lovecraft and get it. And the game, well, it's been a perfect match for all these many years. Anyway, thanks for the episodes and the good questions. Talk to you soon.
Canada represent!
Elevated elbows! I really love that, Anthony. That was great. Thank you so much for your call, dude. Really appreciate it. And I appreciate that you answered those questions for me. I had actually thought that you had finished the entire campaign when I asked that. So it makes sense that you would give it multiple times to like try and run it. And then, you know, the fact that you're experimenting with it and trying it in different ways is pretty cool. And folks, I just want to let you know, Anthony and I went on later to have a deep and meaningful conversation, which I recorded, and we talk about a variety of things, so expect an interview coming soon. All right, let's hit up our next caller and see what they have to say.
Hi, Jason. Xandor, the supervisor here. Why are you doing a podcast? If I weren't busy wrangling Hector and doing your work of exterminating toilet mimics, I would float wherever you're hiding and zap you with my 12 gazes of doom. I should be floating at my desk, grooming my mustache, taking phone calls and telling workers what to do, not doing your job. Now get your lazy butt down in the dungeons now!
Sounds like Xandor needs to take a chill pill. I think we all can relate. We've all got a Xandor up our butts, telling us what to do. You know, cleansing dungeons of evil ain't easy, brah. Especially when you got a 12-eyed freak with a super mustache telling you what to do. Well, Xandor, don't you worry. We'll be back flushing evil down the drain soon enough. But in the meantime, let's listen to what Carl Rodriguez had to say.
Hey, Jason, this is Carl calling to give you some feedback on number 13. I don't think 13 is an unlucky number, but your mileage may vary with that one. So the couple things I was going to talk about, I guess, first and on my mind is the Joker. And I feel like that's a hard one. Some people just are there maybe to game socially. I don't know. I know that there definitely is one of my players that is always cracking jokes. And I think your caller, I'm going to call him a caller. I know he typed it in, might be right, right? It's sometimes it can mess up the mood. And I know very recently there was a game like, I mean, I understand if this was one certain game, say if this was AD&D 5e, but it wasn't. It was a different type of fantasy genre. And it was supposed to, he really, because he was joking around the player, he just didn't get it. And it kind of killed the mood for a couple other players who, I don't know if they're, can you say that they're too serious? But they maybe understand the genre better and understand the weight and the magnitude, the darkness. I don't know. It's an issue. It can be an issue. And maybe that is, I know it was a one shot, so maybe people didn't care so much, but if it was a long-term campaign, definitely a session zero talk, I think, would be necessary. So anyway, the other thing was, oh, right, old school games and the like. Letting players like narrate something that they want to do, I think there should be a role. There should be a role, and I know I've implemented this in my AD&D 1E game, though it's not there, right? Fortunately, there's no thieves in the party, and I guess for the thieves, they would have extra bonuses. And I think the game that does this the best, and I took it from Hyperborea, they have tests and feats of strength, dex, constitution, and then you can translate that or port that to the mental skills too. And that's what I do, honestly, for having characters identify magic items in Hyperborea, and it's just our D6. You roll a D6, there's a more or less, like, if you have a 16 in the stat, you have a 3-6 chance to solve the issue or get the issue done. And I don't know necessarily how that, I guess that would translate to thieves who have, well, thieves, they have like higher chance, at least in Hyperborea. And I guess I would have to figure out the translation if we had a thief in my AD&D game to see how that would, they would benefit from that rule, sort of adding on to their percentage. Maybe just give them a base from, right, to make it fair, right? Give them a base from their stat, make them roll a test, and then they have like a quote unquote saving throw with their actual thief skill or whatever. Interesting stuff. As always, that's my sort of house rule, two cents. And I really do, like I said, how Hyperborea treats that kind of stuff. And I guess for the thief types, when they do have to do like a crazy, crazy action with dexterity, they actually have a bonus to their percentile dice built in. So it's something worth looking into. Anyway, wow, 4 minutes. Sorry. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, Carl, thanks so much for calling in. You make a lot of great points there, buddy. And, you know, definitely the Joker. I'm so glad that Mike wrote in, because it's such a great point. And I think we've all experienced it, like you have, where someone's just, you know, they're either not ready to take the game seriously, or this is how they cope with the you know, stressful situations. But yeah, if it's happening all the time, you know, maybe it's time to sit down and have a conversation with that player. I really like the idea that you were talking about rolling for successes, and the fact that you took it from Hyperborea. I've heard so many great things about that game, and, you know, I've been so tempted to get my hands on it. So this might just put me right over the edge, but I really appreciate the call, dude. Thanks for listening. And, you know, game on, dude. Next up, let's listen to what Jason Connerly has to say.
Hey, Jason, the other Jason, driving to work in the rain. And I just listened to your interview with Matt Finch. Great, great interview. You're a natural at this. I look forward to your future interviews. I will interject one thing here. And not that Matt didn't cover this, but maybe it'll help a little bit. When you're talking about meta knowledge, like, why does that person leaving the village and never left the village know about trolls? Well, there would still be stories, right? And there would still be tales. Now, whether all those stories and tales are accurate, you could question. But if you lived in that time, you still would know. You know, think about real life, you know, history. People still know what wolves and bears were, right? Even if they didn't leave the town, they've still heard tales of wolves and bears. So if things like trolls and goblins and all these things existed, you know darn well you'd still hear tales of them. So I think that's one way to look at that and kind of excuse that a little bit. But just throwing that out there, great job. Keep up the great work, and I will talk to you soon. Hey, Jason, the other Jason again. One last thought. One game that does a great, great job at building that village and the idea you've never left the village before is Beyond the Wall. If you've never looked at Beyond the Wall, it's an OSR game, but you do a collaborative building of the village together, and the players decide, like, who's in the village. Well, they work together with the GM to decide the village, and then rumors and thoughts of things outside the village, and some of what they decide, some of what they say is true, some isn't. Only the GM really knows what's true and what's not. But Beyond the Wall is well worth looking at if you're interested in that idea of, you know, never leaving the village, but the knowledge they have, and kind of a way to do it that includes the players in the process. Highly, highly recommended.
Hey, Jason, the other Jason, just want to let you know that
those Timothy Zahn books are what they should have made instead of the prequel trilogy. That is all.
And that was Jason Connerly, nerd among nerds, prolific caller. Thank you so much for the call, Jason. Super appreciate it. My wife says I say super appreciated. I appreciate it way too much. Apparently, she wants me to stop saying I appreciate it. But I'm going to tell you guys something. I appreciate you all. I appreciate your call-ins. I appreciate that you listen to my show. And you know what? I appreciate that my wife says that I say appreciate too much. But let's get on to what Jason was talking about. First of all, I really like what you said about villagers hearing tales and spreading that sort of information around, and that, hey, we heard this and that. And that's probably a good way to even spread misinformation along with good information to just make things a little interesting. But yeah, great point. And I'm glad that you put that in there. I'm so glad that you enjoyed the Matthew Finch interview. I was super nervous going into that, and I feel like it turned out really, really well, and I really enjoyed doing it. And I have many more interviews coming in the future that are in the editing bay right now, and one including Jason Connerly. Stay tuned for that, folks. Beyond the Wall. Here's another one, like Hyperborea, that I've heard such good things about, and I really would love to get my hands on. I almost had an opportunity to play in one of these, but unfortunately I wasn't available at the time. But yeah, I definitely would love to play in Beyond the Wall or to read the books. And finally, Star Wars. The Timothy Zahn trilogy, Heir to the Empire, that was such a great series. Thrawn was such a great villain, and you're right, man. They totally should have gone with that. I'm glad that they bring Thrawn back in the Rebels animation and later in Ahsoka. Yeah, man. I feel like there was a missed opportunity. So much great Star Wars extended universe stuff that came out. It's kind of unfortunate that it's been relegated to non-canon status. Thanks again for your call, dude. And I appreciate it. All right, let's move on to a new caller, but definitely not a new friend, my dude, Bob from Safeco.
Hey, this is Bob from Safeco Cast. Just a quick call. I really enjoyed the Matt Finch interview. He was a great guest. Very entertaining, very engaging and personable. And it doesn't hurt that, he has a great point of view, and I really appreciate it. So anyway, really fun episode, man. Keep it up.
See, even Bob appreciates it. And you know what, Bob? I appreciate you for appreciating the interview. And yes, that interview was fantastic. Matt Finch is such a great guy, and he has such a good point of view when it comes to running the games. You know, obviously, we may not agree on all the points that he put out, but I think that's the beauty of it, right? Is we each bring our own unique spin to the game and how we want to run it and how we want to play it. But I found it super insightful and very useful, and I'm glad that you did as well. So thanks for the call, Bob. Y'all should be listening to Safeco if you're into Traveler and 2D6 gaming. I really enjoy it. Take care. And let's listen to another new caller, Cup of Solo.
Hey, it's Cup of Solo here, and really loving your podcast, and your latest interview with Matt Finch was superb. Great stuff. Look forward to the next installment of interviews or episodes and wisdom that you do. Keep on plunging.
Thank you, Cup of Solo. Really appreciate it. There we go again. Appreciation. That's what it's all about. Appreciation. But, dude, I'm so glad that you're enjoying listening to the show. I really love having you as a listener. I'm glad that you took the plunge and made that call.
And I really hope that you enjoy the future of the show. I have a lot of interviews planned, as I've been saying, and I hope to continue to put out some great content. So thanks for the support, man, and I will talk to you in the future. Next up, Evil Jeff.
Weeb, it's Evil Jeff. So I wanted to say that you really should start using that lavalier mic. I think it sounds perfect. That way you won't sound as good as you do right now, because you're killing me, dude. You're killing me with that mic. I just don't know. You know, I think I could appreciate you more using that lavalier. In other notes, part way through the last podcast here, and I heard you talking about 3 or 3.5, playing it, you know, strip it back a little bit. Castle and Crusades was sort of that idea of taking 3.0, D&D 3.0, and looking at it from a 2.0 lens. So stripping back some stuff, but kind of taking 2.0 and adding in some of the mechanics that you had in 3.0. So you can probably pick up a copy of the rules fairly inexpensively, probably even free. But you might want to look at that, see if that, you know, kind of makes you feel good and happy. All right. Don't let the mimics get you. Later.
Oh, Evil Jeff. That's why they call you evil. Because you're evil. But in a good way. In the kind of way where you're like, that guy's on my team. You know what I'm saying? But thank you so much for the call, Evil Jeff. And I will try to make sure that my sound quality isn't so intimidating. But I still feel like you have the unfair advantage with that sweet southern voice. When it comes to Castles and Crusades, this is the thing, man. This is the third time that someone's recommended a game in this particular episode. So now we got Castles and Crusades that we got to add to that. And I'm very curious. It seems interesting. I like this idea that it's sort of like a rolled back, slimmed down version of 3.0. So, you know, I'll probably have to take a look at it. I might actually have a PDF of it somewhere. I feel the dudes from Troll Lords had a freebie you could download. So I'll have to give it a look. But thanks very much for the recommendation, and keep on being evil. And I will chat with you later if I can manage to dodge those mimics. Next up, we've got the most sporadic man that podcasting has ever met. My friend, the one, the only, Joe Richter of Hindsightless.
Yo, what's up, Dungeon Plunger? Just finished listening to your latest episode, Eat a Tuna Sandwich. And yeah, dude, first and foremost, I absolutely love tuna sandwiches. I'll eat a tuna sandwich today, a tuna melt. I love them. My mom used to pack them in my lunch back in the day when I was a kid. I didn't give an F what people thought, man. I 100% agree with you. Tuna sandwiches rock. Anyway, man, as for what you're saying about thinking for yourself and not letting people tell you what games you should play and all that stuff. Yes, yes, and more. Yes, dude. 100%. I graduated high school in 96. You know, I grew up on the West Coast in Southern California. And so I listened to a lot of punk rock music back then. I mean, hell, I still do. But I listened to a ton of Lagwagon and NOFX and Voodoo Glow Skulls and Bad Religion and all that stuff. And Bad Religion has a bunch of songs about thinking for yourself. I mean, punk rock in general does, but specifically Bad Religion does. They have a song called The Answer off their album Generator, which is one of the greatest albums of all time. And the chorus goes something like, "Don't tell me you have the answers. Another one will come along soon. I don't believe you have the answers. I have ideas too." And the whole song is about, don't tell me what to think. I'll figure it out. Sometimes really smart people come up with ideas and everyone tears them down and then only later on realizes that they were right. That's what the whole song is about. Brilliant song. I love it. And then another quote that goes along the same lines of what you're talking about that I feel is really kind of valid in our current time period, kind of in any time period, but especially in our current time period, and even specifically for our hobby, is from my man T.S. Eliot. from his poems, Four Quartets. And I will try and get the quote right because I think it's just amazing. So let's see if I can do it without screwing up. Do not let me hear of the wisdom of old men, but rather of their folly, their fear of fear and fancy, of possession, of belonging to another, or to others, or to God. The only wisdom we can hope to acquire is that of humility. Humility is endless. God, that's effing hard as nails, man. But so true. Don't listen to folks that tell you, oh, the games were so much simpler back in the day, and the games were so much more pure and better back in the day. That's just not true. Things were not better back then. The games weren't simpler back then. They're just different. I mean, hell, I played a lot of MERP and Rollmaster. Those two games are super, super crunchy. AD&D, a super crunchy game. Dude, I've been watching a ton of Bandit's Keep solo play, where he's running a solo adventure using OD&D and Chainmail. OD&D, super friggin' crunchy, man. It's a totally crunchy system. Games just have crunch. That's what makes them games. So there's nothing wrong with that. Play the games you want to play. Don't let someone else tell you that you got to play older games because they're the true games. Don't let people tell you you got to play the new games because they're the true games. Play the games you want to play. The only wisdom we can hope to acquire is that of humility. Elbows up!
Can you feel it? Man, Joe really brings it, man. This is why people love listening to his podcast. That's why I love listening to his podcast, Hindsightless. Such a great podcast. This dude, Joe, you have so much energy. You have so much enthusiasm and a lust for life. I feel like Iggy Pop wrote that song about you. And God damn, man, bringing the T.S. Eliot down. I'm not that classy, man. The fact that you brought T.S. Eliot into the argument just elevates it to a level that I couldn't have done. So thank you for bringing that. Tuna Sandwich Brothers, unite. This idea of the tuna sandwich melt, I need to do this. I've never had a tuna sandwich melt. I feel like I'm behind on the times now. Bro, now that I know that you came from California, it makes so much sense. You have this West Coast, like, dude vibe to you, and I love it. And you own it, man. So keep on being you. I know you're more up in the Pacific Northwest area now, but I guess that's still that, you know, brah kind of vibe. The games are not less complicated than they were back in the day. Dude, preach it, man. I love how you're basically like, new games aren't necessarily better. Old games aren't necessarily better. The games that are better are the games that you enjoy. It's interesting that you talk about Daniel and his game being crunchy, because I feel like that was something that Matt Finch was saying on the interview that I did with him about different levels of crunchiness when it came to running the game. Very, very cool. Thank you so much for your call, dude. I look forward to chatting with you in the future and getting some games on. Next up, last but not least, BJ Boyd from the Arcane Alienist.
Hey, Jason, it's BJ. How you doing? I really, really enjoyed your interview with Matt Finch. In fact, I had sort of overlooked backing the new Osric, but that really inspired me to go ahead and go over there and back it. I really admire. I've certainly read interviews with Matt Finch or things he's written this week, and heard other interviews of that with Matt Finch. But you just did a really good job. For whatever reason, it was a very, enjoyable, soaked it all in. My takeaway was first to back Osric, to add to my collection. It seems like it's kind of an essential thing to me because it's a way to play AD&D in a way that's very concise and organized if that's the game you want to play. So good to have on the shelf as an option. Also made me realize I would really like to play with Matt Finch as a DM. He seems like he's like a great DM, and just that he kind of knows how it works. He keeps the game going. He we're all in this to play a game together, and let's just get along and cooperate, players and DM included, and we all just have a good time. And if there's anything that isn't clear or that we need to talk about, we'll just find a consensus and we'll move on. I mean, that is just the perfect tone. If you can set that tone at the table, you know, everybody will have a good time and you don't have to quibble over rules and fudging dice and the kind of things that I think a lot of people worry about. So again, great interview. And also, to answer your question, is an arcane alienist a psychologist who treats spellcasters? No, an arcane alienist is a person who, well, I guess I know it's not really anything because there's really no such thing. But since I created the term, and if I was going to actually be that, I would think it would be a psychologist who uses arcane knowledge and skills to further the exploration of the human mind, or maybe the non-human mind. You know, since we're talking about fantasy stuff. To unlock the mysteries of thought and memory and emotion and personality and madness and things like that. So anyway, keep up the good work. Loving the show. Talk to you later.
Hey, Jason, I just left that message about your interview with Matt Finch and what an arcane alienist is, and it's not real. And then I got myself something to eat and sat down to sign up for some events at North Texas RPG Con, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. And lo and behold, after I had said, man, I'd love to play in a game with Matt Finch, he still had a couple of spots in one of his games. So I will be playing Swords and Wizardry with Matt Finch here in two or three weeks. So maybe I am a little arcane and don't know it and just manifested something into being. Anyway, talk to you later.
Holy cow. BJ, that is super fantastic. I'm so glad to hear that you managed to get yourself into a game with Matt Finch. I'm a little bit jealous. He sounds like he would be a totally awesome game master. And there was a lot where I felt like, you know, we really, really shared a lot of the same feelings about, you know, running games, even though maybe the style of game or the system might not necessarily be the same. He felt like a very down-to-earth guy, and I really appreciated that he came on to the show and shared all that with myself and the listeners. And I'm so happy that the interview encouraged you to back Osric. That wasn't my primary goal in having him on. Obviously, he was donating his time to me to come on and talk. The fact that it translated into something good for him really makes me happy, and hopefully that'll encourage other interviewers to be willing to come on and talk and know that they're not just talking to me without any sort of benefit to them in the long run. That's great all around. I'm glad that my interview was the thing that put you over the edge on that. Dude, I'm so glad that you explained what an arcane alienist is. It's a little creepy that you may have arcane powers, and now I may be worried that, you know, maybe you're using your powers to look at me while I'm taking a shower because you have invisibility and the ability to peer between planes. And I'm flattered if that's what you decided to do with your powers, but, you know, just use them wisely. That's all I can say. Thank you so much for your call, dude. Really appreciate it, and I look forward to listening to your show in the future. Everybody else should be listening to the Arcane Alienist. Well, folks, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to the Callapalooza Part 2. Next time, I have an interview coming up on Monday, and the following week, I will have a regular episode as well, where, you know, I'm just going to sit down and have a little chit-chat with y'all, share some thoughts and feelings, and, you know, maybe solve some of the world's problems. You never know. Maybe BJ Boyd can use some of his arcane alienist powers. So we'll see. But until then, remember, when you're plunging into the dungeon and nature calls, watch out for those mimics, especially when they're disguised as toilets, because they're a pain in the butt. Another little thing I'd like you guys to know, music is by Alexander Kizunaku, the cover art by the ever cool and totally rad dude John McNally from the Pacific Northwest. You can leave me a message on SpeakPipe at www.speakpipe.com/thedungeonplunger. How about send me an email at dungeonplunger@gmail.com. And remember, you can also follow me on Blue Sky at thedungeonplunger.bsky.social. Do people really say it like that? I don't know. How would you say to follow someone on Blue Sky? All of our guests, their info can be found in the show notes with links to their podcasts. And I highly suggest that you go and check them out. They're really cool people. I just wanted to thank all of the callers that took the time to call in, all the listeners. It's super appreciated. Thank you, Che Webster of Roleplay Rescue. Thank you to my wife, Marnie Robertson. Thank you to Anthony Boyd from Casting Shadows, Xandor, the supervisor, voiced by Edward Valley, Carl Rodriguez of the Geomologist Presents, Jason Connerly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast, Bob of Safeco, and Cup of Solo. He has a YouTube channel. Check it out. Evil Jeff, host of the Minions and Musing podcast, Joe Richter of the Hindsightless podcast, the most sporadic podcast on the internet, BJ Boyd of the Arcane Alienist. And to you all, good night, good morning, good afternoon. Enjoy those tuna sandwiches and plungers up.
Greetings, listener! This is I, Hector, the real Dungeon Plunger. Not that milk drinker Jason. We in the dungeon always appreciate whatever love you can give us. So please, share the podcast, send your messages, and do anything that will unclog our algorithm. We really appreciate it. Plungers up!